The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. A certain Pharisee invited Jesus to dine with him, and he entered the Pharisee's house and reclined at table. Now there was a sinful woman in the city who learned that he was at table in the house of the Pharisee. Bringing an alabaster flask of ointment, she stood behind him at his feet, weeping, and began to bathe his feet with her tears. Then she wiped them with her hair, kissed them, and anointed them with the ointment. When the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he said to himself, "If this man were a prophet, he would know who and what sort of woman this is who is touching him, that she is a sinner." Jesus said to him in reply, "Simon, I have something to say to you." "Tell me, teacher," he said. "Two people were in debt to a certain creditor. One owed 500 days' wages, and the other owed 50. Since they were unable to repay the debt, he forgave it for both. Which of them will love him more?" Simon said in reply, "The one, I suppose, whose larger debt was forgiven." He said to him, "You have judged rightly." Then he turned to the woman and said to Simon, "Do you see this woman? When I entered your house, you did not give me water for my feet, but she has bathed them with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You did not give me a kiss, but she has not ceased kissing my feet since the time I entered. You did not anoint my head with oil, but she anointed my feet with ointment. So I tell you, her many sins have been forgiven, hence she has shown great love. But the one to whom little is forgiven loves little." He said to her, "Your sins are forgiven." The others at table said to themselves, "Who is this who even forgives sins?" But he said to the woman, "Your faith has saved you. Go in peace." The Gospel of the Lord. How would you define holiness? Or who would you say is a holy person? Most of us would point to external appearances and visible actions and use them to measure holiness. You know, people sometimes say to me, "Father John, you will go straight to heaven." Man, I hope they're right. But how did they come to that conclusion? They see me at Mass. I'm wearing my priestly collar. They watch me interact with people. They hear me speak at Bible study. Based on those exterior criteria, they conclude that a priest must be holy. And those are certainly helpful hints of holiness. But if there's one thing the recent clergy sexual abuse crisis has proven beyond the shadow of a doubt, it is that putting on a Roman collar does not make a man immune to mortal sin. In a certain sense, the Roman collar marks him as a target of temptation for the evil one. In a war, you do more damage by killing a captain than by killing a private. In other words, holiness cannot just be skin deep. Holiness must abide in the heart. And what abides in the heart is love. In the gospel today, the question of what determines holiness is precisely what is at stake in the interaction between Simon the Pharisee and Jesus. The Pharisees contend that holiness consists of external purity and visible behavior, a lot like most of us would define it. In fact, the name Pharisee comes from the Hebrew word perushim, which literally means the separated ones. Holiness, therefore, requires separation from those who are unholy, those who are defiled, those who are impure. To be holy is to quarantine yourself from the rest of the world, which is diseased with the defilement of sin. We might compare the holiness of the Pharisees to modern day zombie movies, where there are a few healthy people who are trying never to touch all the zombies that are like the walking dead. And that is why the Pharisees react so strongly when Jesus touches the sinful woman in the gospel. Our Lord, on the other hand, defines holiness not as separation, but as integration. Not as running away from the walking dead in loathing, but running toward them in love. Think of all the times Jesus reaches out his hand to touch people the Pharisees would consider unclean and to be avoided. Jesus touched the dead son of the widow of Nain earlier in the same chapter of Luke 7, verses 11 through 17. Jesus is touched by a woman who had a hemorrhage. She was bleeding for 12 years in Mark chapter 5. Jesus speaks to the Samaritan woman in John chapter 4 and shocks his apostles. And today Jesus is anointed and even kissed by a sinful woman in Luke 7 verses 36 through 50. Integration comes from the word integral, which comes from the word integer. Do you remember what an integer is in math? Don't worry, I had to look it up too. An integer is a whole number that can be written without a fractional component. The basic point is that an integer is whole, and to integrate is to make separated pieces whole again. That is Jesus' definition of holiness. To reintegrate all the separated and scattered children of God back into God's family, back into one church, back home under one roof. In a word, holiness is wholeness, integration rather than separation. And the key to holiness as integration is love. Now let's return to our initial question. How do you define holiness? Do we have the attitude that holiness is separation, so we may quarantine ourselves from people or places or situations we consider unclean or sinful? We look at people who are different from us as so many zombies, like the walking dead. But one of the chief qualities of the great saints is to run toward the people and the places and the situations with great love. Mother Teresa ran to the slums of Calcutta. Blessed Stanley Rother faced the persecutions in Guatemala and was killed for it. Saint Damien of Molokai, who lived in the leper colony in the island of Molokai. And the list goes on and on. Why do they do that? They believe holiness is basically integration. The saints use Jesus' math. And their holiness tries to make the world whole again. They see the people who are different, not as zombies, but as separated brothers and sisters. St. Thomas Aquinas taught that the chief effect of the Eucharist was unity. The chief effect of the Eucharist is unity in the body of Christ, the church. As we come forward to receive Holy Communion, let us ask for the grace to define holiness like Jesus does. Holiness is wholeness. Praised be Jesus Christ.